Blog Talk Radio.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and GC Rock Show. This is a show where we try to think for ourselves and offer thought-provoking, stimulating, informative, and entertaining discussion. Welcome.
Welcome, 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 all my peoples, all my peeps. Welcome to the Dave and G-Ski Rock Show, right here on Talk Radio. I want to thank y'all for tuning in, y'all, for showing up today. You didn't have to, but you did. And I appreciate it so, so much. We appreciate it so much. We have a great, great show for you today. Of course, you always know that. Because we always got a great show. Yeah, we have a great, great show for you today. Like I said, I just want to thank y'all for coming out and hanging out with us. If you want to call into the show real quick, the call-in number is 516-387-1705. Once again, that's 516-387-1705. And all you got to do, if you got a comment or a question, hit the one on your dial pad. And that will let us know that you got something to say or you want to chime in. It's all good. It's all gravy. And I love gravy. Gravy and bacon. We got the bacon song, of course, like always. So we're doing the thing. That's how we do what we do. If you want to email me, it's quick and easy. It's gski@airwavesamerica.com. That's gski@airwavesamerica.com. And if you want to email Dave, all you got to do is email him at dave@airwavesamerica.com. I'll make sure he has access to it, and he can get in there and all that other good stuff, and he'll be checking and all that good stuff, because I don't think he can get to it right now. But, yeah, we're going to change that. You can find me on Twitter. I'm GSkiRocks on Twitter, G-S-K-I-R-O-K-S on Twitter. Same thing on Instagram. On Facebook, I'm G-Ski Rocks, except it's spelled G-E-E, Ski Rocks. And, yeah, that's how you find me on Facebook. I'm all over the place doing the doggone thing, because that's how I do what I do. And in the house, we got our homie Dave. What's happening, Dave?
Yo, yo, yo.
I seen yo in the chat room.
No, that was me. That was me calling you a yo-yo.
I am kind of a yo-yo.
Yeah. How am I coming through right now? Am I coming through all right?
And clear.
All right. Well, there's some little skips, and so I thought it was you skipping last time we were on together, and then when I listened to the podcast, you were fine. So I don't know. It must have been me. My signal must have been skipping. So I was just checking.
Oh, yeah.
Am I five by five?
Yeah, you are loud and clear. You are on and popping.
All right.
On and popping. Man, right. I cut it awful close today. I was getting off my machine, so yeah, I cut it really, really. That's well, why. That's Yeah, that's why I didn't even log in until it was 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Well, I was fiddling around with you know, what account I'm logged in as, you know, because I think the last time I did it, I logged in as you, and I didn't know if you could log in as you, if I was still logged in as you into Blog Talk, and you know, I was trying to figure out my own password and log in. I still don't know it. So I opened up the other browser that has my account logged in. That's why you see me in there. So I've got Chrome going. I've got Safari going. So
okay.
I'm on the phone through Chrome. I'm on the phone through Chrome. I'm in the chat through Safari. That's how I do what I do.
Yeah, you're doing the doggone thing once again.
Yeah, doing the doggone thing. But here's the thing. I still need a minute. So if you got something that you want to hit, I'm going to turn
it
down.
Yeah, most definitely.
What I
got to
do.
Most definitely.
You don't want to hear me eating into the microphone, so. Nyah. I just got home myself, so.
Yeah, I got you.
All right. Rock on, baby.
All right, people, so I'm going to take the helm while Dave is doing the doggone thing, you know, so that's how we do it. I think what I will do now is I have to speak about our great, great friend, Sue from New Mexico. If you guys don't know, if you haven't been on Twitter and checking it out, Sue from New Mexico lost her mom this week. And, you know, Sue has been a supporter of the show. We started back 10 years ago. Yeah, she's been a supporter back then. She's a supporter now when we started the show back up. She does promo for us and all kinds of things. And she's just a great person. And she lost her mom, so condolences, number one. We're praying for strength for her and her family at this time. And I just want to do a special dedication for her at this time. So right now, we're going to go ahead and play Amazing Grace, bagpipes. I love this. But this is for Sue from New Mexico. Condolences for her mother passing. Like I said, we're praying for you, praying for your family. And like we always say, we appreciate everything that you do. And we got your back. We got back at the time. So this is for Sue from New Mexico. Thank you. Rest in peace.
Indeed. Awesome. Love that song. Good
choice.
Yeah,
so, yeah, so do I. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so rest in peace. And Sue, we'll be waiting for you here always, and we got you back. So that's how we do what we do. Yeah, now.
Well, tell folks what our Twitter handle is if they want to extend any condolences.
Yes, let me get my phone out. I don't know it by heart, but here we go.
Love America something 65 or
yeah.
Something.
Yeah, it's Love America 615. Love America 615.
It's all one word, right?
Yeah, all one word. Love America 615. Yeah, so that's how we got it going. All right. Let's see. What do we have? What do we have going on? There's lots of stuff going on. Lots of stuff going on. Where do we start?
I know. So many things. My day today was not the kind of day where I could kind of, you know, work things out of what I might want to talk about today, tonight. I think I texted you. It's one of those days where you don't want to ask what else could possibly go wrong, because the universe is going to show you. You know, I had this, the truck broke down. Then I had to wait. I was like 3 hours past what I would normally be done. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a rough day at work myself. So, yeah, it was crazy. I had a lot going on. I was glad to get out of there for today. I tell you what. But let's see what we got going on. Oh, here's something. The guy that was responsible for the Steele dossier, the one that pretty much initiated the wiretaps on Trump and eventually led up to the first impeachment. That guy has been arrested.
He's the Russian guy, right?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he's been arrested on a whole bunch of stuff. So we're going to have to what happens from there, because you know all of that led up to and the thing was, everybody going into this stuff, including the Clintons and everybody else, they knew all this stuff was trumped up.
And the FBI knew right away, but it was like, well, let's see if we can make it stick,
right?
That's not the way to run the FBI. Sorry, I was tweeting some condolences to Sue, and I forgot how to use Twitter, so my fault.
Yeah, you haven't used Twitter in a while, so.
It's been, as D-Ski says, a minute.
But yeah, this guy, he's just got so much crap on him. He's been lying and lying and lying, and yeah, this is the guy.
Well, he's been indicted, right?
Yes, so he's been indicted.
Does that mean he's in custody, quote unquote?
I think so. I believe so.
Okay.
Let me see if this says anything about him being in custody.
So if while you're doing that, there's two ways that this can go with this particular guy. It's the kind of guy that has enough information to get bigger fish.
Yes.
Okay. Now, whether or not, let me put the two things that Bongino's been back on the radio, so that's cool. But I listened to his podcast, and he was talking about this guy, and like I said, he has enough information to catch some bigger fish, but he's also low enough on the totem pole to take the fall for all this.
Right.
So there's two possibilities that this guy can, that will go on with this guy. What we just don't have is any faith that the Justice Department will do anything to him, regardless of what Durham does, because Durham can't, ultimately prosecute. He's doing the investigation. He refers it to the Justice Department. Well, the guy's a hack. Merrick Garland, he's a freaking hack.
Right.
Anyway, that's what I got on that. So, I mean, the guys, yeah, maybe they can try to flip him. I don't really see that. I mean,
neither do I.
He can sit there and say, okay, what are you guys going to do to me that's worse than what the Clintons will do to me if I flip? Right?
That's correct. That's correct.
That's what it is in a nutshell.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't want to flip on them because there's consequences for that.
Right, and it's just the way the world works right now, and that's kind of a sad thing to have to say. But we all know that there's many different levels in the Justice Department. So,
right.
I mean, I don't know what more we have to kind of wait and see. We have to kind of wait and see as far as from everything I've heard about this guy. You know, everybody knew about this guy. You know, why are we just now, getting him? What? And the Sussman guy, he was arrested. The lawyer there, he was arrested just because the statute of limitations started to run out. So that's why they grabbed him. So, but with regard to Russian collusion, how many arrests have been made for colluding with Russia?
Yeah.
Zero. How many arrests now have been made in trying to set Donald Trump up to have colluded with Russia? Well, two so far.
Mm-hmm. You know,
this is the investigation. They don't want to really, they don't want to ever really find out what's going on with it. So it's also, I mean, in that regard, it's kind of like the January 6th investigation. They don't really want to find out. They really don't want to get to the bottom, because if they get to the bottom, they'll have egg all over their face.
Yeah.
You know, if they really started asking people, that mattered, up in D.C., they would lie. They would have to lie. I mean, that's what that comes down to, I guess.
Of course.
So, it still doesn't excuse the treatment that still is being reported about the people that they have arrested for trespassing.
Right.
That's what's been reported anyways.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And still, yeah, you said I'm the majority of them, and it's more than 250 of them. They've been charged with basically trespassing. There's no insurrection, none, no charges for that. It's just they've been charged for trespassing. So why do they keep calling it?
Well, they love to call it the insurrection, though. They love calling it that.
Democrat
media. January 6th, it was the darkest day in our democracy. Well, first of all, we live in a republic, you dolt. Second of all, it was not the darkest day in our democracy. Just because you didn't, you know, you want to make it so, doesn't make it so.
Right. Yeah, just because you want to make it so, that doesn't make it so. I can name a few dark days in our democracy. There's quite a few.
Well, we can go back to November 3rd, 2020.
Yeah.
That was a dark day. We can go back to November 3rd, 2008. That was a dark day. Go back to 1992. That was a dark day. What do all these days have in common?
I kind of recognize that pattern.
And that's just off the top of my head.
Yes, I kind of recognize that pattern. If you did not recognize that pattern, those are the days that Democrats were elected into office.
Presidents.
Presidents. Presidents holding the highest. So, yeah. That's what he was referring to. And those were some dark days.
We didn't know it. We didn't know how dark at the time because we didn't know the extent of the corruption that goes all the way back to that.
Right.
Probably goes back further, but I mean, the stuff that we're dealing with currently, I would say pretty much is kind of centered around or who is at the hub is going to be, Clinton / Obama, whoever the Alinskyites were. Because they used Alinsky's tactics to gain power. Then they used power once they had it to kind of keep power and raise money and become, gloriously wealthy.
Yes. Very wealthy. I know the Clintons were making bags of dough. Just for speaking, probably $1 million at a time.
Well, they have what they call the Clinton Foundation, right?
Yep.
It last I knew, okay, and this information is probably, a few years old, maybe even 10 years old. I don't know.
Right.
But. Last I knew, they had what's known as, because it's a 501c3, the Clinton Foundation. It's a charity, right?
Right.
And what do they charitize? Who do they give their, who do they say it's for? Like mosquito nets in Africa or something?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember. Wasn't it something like that they provided?
Yeah.
Well. Out of the millions and millions and millions that they shake people down for, for access, for influence, whatever, because they do still have powerful friends, and people that will, that know what they're capable of. Let's put it that way. And they, The foundation had what's known as a pass through of about 5%.
Yeah.
So after all of the salaries and expenses and whatever else they wanted, they put about 5% of what they took in towards those mosquito nets in Africa.
Yep.
Or whatever it was.
You know?
It was either 5 or it was 15, but still.
Yeah.
They existed on that tax-free. Tax-free money, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when I was in the military, they used to give us an option once a year. They give us this big old pamphlet, and it's a pamphlet full of charities. And you would get to pick the charity that you would like to send money to. It would come straight out of our check and all that other stuff. But the good thing about the pamphlet that we got, it would tell you how much money goes towards the actual charity.
So it
was interesting to see some of those, and you know, and how much money they spend on pay and all that other stuff. And of course me, I would pick the charities where the majority of the money was going to the actual charity. And that's how I did it every year when I was selecting. So, you know, the Clinton Foundation, I mean, the money that actually goes towards the charity is probably one of the lowest that I've ever seen as far as money going to the actual charity. So, yeah, they were banking. And I think their daughter, Chelsea, was working for the Clinton Foundation. She was getting a salary for doing nothing. Her husband was getting paid for that charity. He didn't do anything either. Yeah, they had a whole family thing going on. They had the whole family circle going on, and they were banking.
Well, I am going to right this minute give you credit for doing that when you were in the military, because I would never have. I'd be like, screw that. That's my money. You know, I was 20 years old, so.
Yeah, other priorities. Yeah, I would normally give to like two different charities a year, so. Yeah.
I never found every time I got paid, I was always like, this really isn't very much at all. Yeah. You know, and then you know, at the base I was at in Missouri, there were some of the regulars there. They're driving around in these, you know, these cars that were, you know, brand new. They had all decked out with stuff. Well, you know, obviously nothing better to spend their money on. That's fine, but I would like, I can barely eat with what I'm getting. You know, where are you getting all that money? You know, that would have been the main reason. That if I remembered doing the charity drive or whatever they did, that I would decline. But I'm like, okay, I'm not really making a whole lot of money doing this.
I was a very charitable person. Get blood all the time. I used to volunteer for lots of stuff. I used to volunteer
not
for
me.
The
I work hard for my blood. I feel like a toad now, but I mean, I never did that.
Oh, I mean, I understand. I don't know what it was. But yeah, I mean,
was that one of those Chris Rock? Well, I don't agree with it, but I understand.
Yes. Yes. Very much so. Yeah, I did a lot of stuff. You know, I've never fished a day in my life. Never. However, back in the day, when I was in San Diego, I volunteered for the Police Athletic League, and we took 500 kids out fishing. And I didn't fish. I was handing out fishing poles, because you know you got kids and they'll get them things doggone wrapped up and tangled and all that other stuff. They would bring it back to me. I would have to untangle it, and I'd give them another one. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I would give them one, another
one.
Here's
one that's untangled from the last kid that brought me his off. I'll take care of this one. No. You're here to have fun.
Yeah, so that was a highlight for me. I really, 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 really
cool.
did enjoy that.
And why didn't you ever go fishing after that, though?
I don't know. I guess it just never was one of my things.
All right.
Yeah, so.
Well, when I come down there, damn it, we're going fishing.
Okay. We can do that. Yeah, there's a lot of people that do fishing around here. I'm telling you, on my job, they used to have a little fishing expedition all the time. I just never went on one. I don't know. I just never had that desire.
Well, you know, going fishing doesn't have to necessarily mean to the ocean.
Going fishing, yeah.
You can go to a brook or a lake or even, you know, a river and go fishing.
Yeah. Yes. Me and my wife, we'll drive up to the Walmart. It's not that too far from us. And there's bridges. There's a couple bridges and, you know, little rivers that we pass. And all the time you see about two or three cars parked on the side. And those guys are over there fishing. Yeah.
I'm not a big, huge fishing guy, but I've fished, A, and I will fish, B.
Yeah. I take you for kind of an outdoorsy type of guy.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm looking at like three or four compound bows that I have here. Actually, I have five. One, two, three. Four. I have six compound bows because we all, you know, each other kids have them. We shoot arrows. Yeah. I went through a big arrow phase like probably a couple of years ago. Built myself a crossbow. Did I send you a picture of that?
I believe you did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I believe you did.
It's pretty awesome.
You are quite proud of that.
Oh, I still am because it worked. And it's probably like a $2,500 crossbow.
Wow.
That yeah. I've made. I probably invested maybe $200 into it. Materials and whatnot. Maybe $250.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I tend to if I want something that is more than I'm willing to pay, I look into how much will it cost to make it. Same thing with a subwoofer, you know.
Yeah. Right.
If I can find them and I'm willing to pay that, then I'll do that. But if not, I'll see what I can. I bet I can make that. And that served me pretty well. I do the research. I go to YouTube. I go wherever I need to go. I have a bunch of homemade regular recurve type bows that are not compound bows, no pulleys and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I made them out of? Cross country skis. Whenever I would get a pair of cross country skis, and I ended up with, you know, you can find them for free, you know, on the side of the road and stuff like that. That's how I got most of them. In fact, I've never paid for any cross country skis. I'd pick them up from wherever. And I've got probably three of those. So what I do is I made like the handle called the riser. So I made the handle out of like hardwood, and then I would bolt like the limbs of cross country skis on it, and I would string it, and those things shoot arrows fine. They shoot really good.
Yeah.
So I've got like three of those. Because I made one for each of the kids. They would make the handle thing. I would show them how to do it. I would cut it. They would like file it down and sand it to how they liked it and stuff like that. Then would shellac them and stuff like that. Good project for dad and the kids.
Right.
And so yeah, I'm kind of an outdoorsy, you know, in that sense.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Yeah,
I do have a canoe that a guy gave me to restore, and you know, it's full of holes and it's broken and stuff, and I was supposed to put you know, fiberglass the whole thing and then repaint the whole thing, and I sanded some of it down, but that's about as far as I ever got.
Yeah.
So like we have another canoe that we use. We, you know, we go out, but I got this other project canoe, and it's, you know, a lower, much lower priority, especially after I got back into music. I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
Very understandable. All right, so we've talked about that. What else we got? How about what happened in Virginia? McAuliffe went down.
Yeah, that was lucky.
Yes.
I mean, that was lucky. So that was, we like that. I was listening to some of the other results of other elections that happened that day. Somebody was just kind of like reading them off their phone. I don't know where they were getting them, but they were like, you know, so-and-so Democrat won in this race or that race. So the best thing that happened was in Virginia. Some of the other ones are still leaking through and not being stopped, or, you know, like in New Jersey, I think they set up one of those scams again, where they stop counting in the middle of the night, and then all of a sudden, oh, look.
Yeah, exactly.
That was one of those, another one of those scam things, you know. And, you know, it never, when one thinks for oneself and applies even loosely the law of averages, wouldn't that happen to a Republican once in a while? Well, we better stop counting, and then, you know, in the morning it's got to go the other way. Wouldn't that happen, you know, if it was by chance and it was all innocent and everything else, if it was as advertised, wouldn't that, the law of averages would say that that would happen to a Republican, you know, an equal amount of times.
Right.
I have never seen that.
Neither have I.
Huh. Huh. That's all I'll say.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
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 Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was listening to a talk radio show here in Atlanta, and Sebastian Gorka. His show is pretty tight. Matter of fact, he was in the Trump administration when Trump, you know, was president. And,
right. No, yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah, he got out.
He's an Australian accent guy, yes, right? Sebastian Gorka.
He's from somewhere in England. I don't know where, but that's somewhere in England. Anyway, one of his staff, this is prior to Election Day, last Tuesday, he was asking his staff, you know, what did they think the outcomes were going to be? And they talked about Virginia specifically, but Terry McAuliffe and this Youngkin, I think that's his name.
Yeah, Glenn Youngkin.
But one of his staff said something that I found kind of interesting. Because, of course, they talked about cheating. And this guy said, what I think's going to happen is they're going to sacrifice this one guy and not
say, look, there's no cheating. Yeah.
And so that they can save it for the big one, the midterm that's coming up in 12 months.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, they're going to sacrifice this guy and, you know, say, look, hey, there's no cheating going on here. Him and not cheat and just hold that card until 12 months from now. I thought that was very interesting because I think that's what they might do because, of course, you got the midterm elections coming up and the most important thing during the midterm elections is the House and the Senate. I don't want to lose any more seats.
I don't like
that. Say what?
I said I don't like that because I think that's exactly what the grand plan probably is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean they know that states are conducting audits. They know what they did. They know that some of this stuff is going to be found out. I mean, they also know the media isn't going to cover it, but enough of it's going to leak out so that anybody on the fence that, you know, that still thinks that Joe Biden got 81 million votes. will say, oh, well, yeah. You know, they lost that one so that the elections must be fair. So
right.
That's a pretty good analysis that I had not heard so far. And I think that's, unfortunately, the one I'm probably going to believe.
Yeah, same here. When I read that, because, you know, mostly everybody else on his staff was going to say Terry McAuliffe is going to win by a slim margin. That's what mostly everybody said. They said Terry McAuliffe had the momentum and stuff like that. But this guy came out and he said, I think that they're going to sacrifice him and show that they didn't cheat and they're going to hold that power until a couple months from now when the important ones come up.
The work that needs to be done in the next 12 months is for states to tighten up these COVID election laws and clean up their rolls and stuff like that.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, because I mean,
it's almost like to the point where, you know, why do we go through the sham of this when you know. It's just theater for you guys that know who's going to win, that's doing all the stuff, you know, and like I've always said, somebody knows something and we got to find out we got to shake it until, you know, we find a loose board who will talk and, you know, Project Veritas is doing a whole lot of those kinds of things, you know, finding it on his own. He's just out
yeah.
there doing, you know, getting leads
yeah.
and doing undercover stuff. So
yeah. Wow, it's funny you mentioned them because his office has been raided by the FBI.
When?
Yesterday, I believe.
And what reason did they give?
I guess they're looking into Ashley Biden's missing diary.
Ashley Biden?
Yeah, I'm assuming that's one of Biden's daughters. Yeah,
how would he? What's going on with that? This is the first I'm hearing of any of that.
I have no idea. I mean, the first that I'm hearing of it too. I mean, I read the headline just today. But yeah, it's her parents are Joe Biden and Jill Biden. Yeah, it's the daughter of the Bidens, and apparently she has a diary that has went missing. And for some odd reason, they believe that Project Veritas has something to do with it. So, yep, they conducted multiple searches of their offices. That was
okay,
yesterday.
So that's a ruse to intimidate Project Veritas.
Yes.
Off the top of my head, I'm saying, okay, they're getting close to stuff. So they have stuff, and it's an excuse to seize anything that would be unflattering.
Right. They tried that before, and he's gotten out of it. But yeah, they've done that before. Mm. This was probably I would say 5-6 years ago. They tried the same thing. But I mean, he came out clean and went about his way and kept on doing the things that he's been doing. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI has raided his office, and I think you're exactly right. They're trying to do a little intimidation and just make sure that things are set up for 12 months from now. I think that's what they're doing. I think that's what they're trying to do.
In the meantime, 1.2 million copies of American Marxism has been sold.
Wow.
In 3 months?
You talk about Mark Levin's one, right?
Yeah.
That's wow.
So whatever is going on is kind of like under the radar, because he didn't go on Good Morning America to plug his book. You know, obviously they're not going to have it. He didn't go on any of those shows. He don't go any of the late night, you know, so-called comedy shows.
Right.
You know, like people who are hawking books and whatever, movies and whatnot. He didn't do any of that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, because I heard very little about his book. And I think the only reason I found out that book was out was because a coworker of mine, he had me buy a book for him on Amazon called American Marxism. By a different author. But when I looked it up on Amazon, both Mark and his book came up. And I was like, I didn't even know Mark Levin had another book out. Yeah, so that's how I found out. Yeah, so I mean, for a guy I mean, he has a big name. Understand that.
Right.
For a guy who didn't do a lot of advertising for it, I mean, that's pretty spectacular. That means that people have the desire to learn. And that's very, very encouraging.
Right. So I just went on Amazon. I'm trying to find American Marxism by anybody other than... Wait a minute. American Marxism, the new quote. There it is. William Reeves.
Yes, that's him. Yes, that's him.
All right.
Bless you.
Thanks. Sorry about that. In this timely book, American Marxism, How a New Cold War Drives the Progressives' Agenda, author William Reeves takes a close look at the history of Marxism and examines the evolution of socialism, how it was refined over the course of several decades by neo-Marxists from an economic theory to a social science to a political and cultural path to power. All right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because at least it's going on the same path as the other one.
Right. My coworker asked me to pick that up. He doesn't. I guess he had a bad experience with Amazon, so he doesn't do the Amazon thing. Anytime he wants something off of Amazon, yeah, he'll come to me, and I'll get it for him. So, yeah, so that's how I became aware of Mark Levin's book.
It highlights how today's progressives, who have overtaken liberals in setting the agenda for the American left, have used cultural Marxism to construct a divisive and hypocritical platform that flies in the face of every ideal put forth by our founding fathers. Learn more about how the tenets of Marxism have been rebranded as progressivism and how this tired and failed philosophy has enveloped a far left that is bent on the destruction of America. Discover what this toxic ideology means for the future of our country and how this movement is used by those in the arts, the media, and academia to negatively influence what Americans can and should believe about our nation. By discussing both the history of Marxism and how it is being applied by the leftist political movement in an effort to win the hearts and minds of Americans, we can better understand the intentions of their agenda and develop countermeasures to expose it. William Reeves holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in Urban Studies and a Master of Arts degree in Economics. He has enjoyed a lengthy career as a public policy and government relations consultant, writer, and educator, lives with family in Southern California. All right. So that's not bad. Here is American Marxism by Mark Levin. Let's see here. New York Times bestseller. Seven-time number one New York Times bestselling author, Fox News star, radio host Mark R. Levin explains how the dangers he warned against in the timely yet timeless David Lemoore, author of Jesus is Risen, bestselling Liberty and Tyranny, have come to pass. In 2009, Mark R. Levin galvanized conservatives with his unforgettable manifesto, Liberty and Tyranny, by providing a philosophical, historical, and practical framework for halting the liberal assault on constitution-based values. That book was about standing at the precipice of progressivism's threat to our freedom, and now, over a decade later, we're fully over that precipice and paying the price. In American Marxism, Levin explains how the core elements of Marxist ideology are now pervasive in American society and culture, from our schools, the press, and corporations, to Hollywood and the Democratic Party and the Biden presidency, and how it is often cloaked in deceptive labels like progressivism, democratic socialism, and social activism, and more. With his characteristic trenchant analysis, Levin digs into the the psychology and tactics of these movements, the widespread brainwashing of students, and the anti-American proposes and the brainwashing of students, the anti-American purposes of critical race theory and the Green New Deal, and the escalation of repression and censorship to silence opposing voices and enforce conformity. It's the counter-revolution to the American Revolution. That's what he writes. So I have that book, but I'm still slogging through it. And, you know, because it's deep, and when I read it, I'm usually pretty tired. So I have to go back over things.
Right. Yeah, because you got a lot on your plate. So I understand.
I do. Today, like I said, today was particularly rough. I'll probably not even pick it up tonight.
Yeah. So
pop on a movie that I've seen a million times and fall asleep.
Yeah. I know those kind of days. I do. Yeah, a lot of times, you know, after I get done with dialysis, I'm freaking dead tired.
Right.
So, yeah, I kind of do the same thing. So I know how you feel.
Yeah.
I know how you feel. But yeah, man, I mean, that, like I said, that's pretty encouraging for him not to advertise like that and to sell that many books. That means people really want to know, and people are starting to educate themselves to be able to start fighting it. Because I mean, back 2008 when Obama came in, maybe it was because of Obama, and we started to see something after Clinton. You know, we seen things start. We go, And then, of course, Hillary kept herself in the limelight all that time, sitting there. And you can just hear and see the things she was doing, Rules for Radicals, all over the place. So,
right, but we didn't know that at the time.
Right. And it became more prevalent when Obama got in. And there was some use of it when George W. Bush was in office. They used some of that stuff to kind of flip the script on George W. Bush to make things seem kind of ugly. And of course,
yeah.
And we had the Iraq War too. So yeah, it was a lot going on with that. So yeah, they started to use those concepts and everything during his presidency. But yeah, it became way more prevalent when Obama got in office. And then Obama had all them connections, man, with all these Marxists and socialists.
Marxists, socialists, Muslims.
Yeah, he had all the connects. And they were like, you know what? Break out the book. Let's do it now. And they had him covered, because if you say anything about him and what he's doing, you're
a racist.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
good news is they're still playing that card, but people are getting sick of it. You know.
Right. Exactly.
Well, yeah. I how is this not working anymore? This usually works. You're a racist. Yep. Okay. I'm not, but all right. What do you mean you're not, but all right? This is supposed to work. This is supposed to get you. This is supposed to put you in the fetal position. Well, it's not going to anymore. You can think what you want. I'm not a racist. And you can bite it.
Yeah. So when they seen that stuff wasn't working, and when you guys were telling them to go, what do? Critical race theory.
Yeah, they double down. Critical race theory.
Yep.
And I covered this last week on how the black liberation theology started. And I dug that out of my that first book it just seemed, you know, that there was something there. So, I gave it a chapter in Stay Mad. And I covered that last week before Dana hopped on with us.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a lot of connections to make that, you know, that's obviously part of what it was, regardless of how old critical race theory actually is. It certainly at least intersects with black liberation theology in many, many ways, especially when it's talking about, you know, the Marxism, and openly talks about the Marxism in, you know, involved in the philosophy of it.
Right. Yep. Yeah, it's just crazy on the lengths that they'll go to try to get these things done. And like you said, once they seen that it wasn't working, they doubled down and pop up with critical race theory. And we're just supposed to accept that. Nope, not going to happen, partner. And mm-hmm. I like
not
that today, you're...
Heard. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the fact of the matter that there's a lot of pushback. And
exactly.
And these people that are pushing back with information. They're not just pushing back to be pushing back, they're pushing back with information. And it is just delightful to see. Yeah, I'm loving it. But I'm also loving
it. Yeah, go ahead.
Now I'm saying I'm also loving that we are moving to the top of the hour, so we're gonna go ahead and get on down. Before we do, I think this break is gonna be a little bit longer than because I want to play a song. I dug it out. I found it. I want to play that song, and I think I want to play the song too. I don't know. So, yeah, it might be a little bit longer than our normal breaks, but it's all good. It's all gravy. You know how we do what we do.
We probably have enough material uploaded to just take us out to 9 o'clock.
That is true.
Not that we would do that at all, ever. All right, let it rip. What song is it?
It's a song of a friend of mine. His name is High Caliber.
I remember him.
Yeah.
I remember him.
Yeah, me and him made a couple songs, addressing stuff that was going on at the time. But he has Parkinson's, and Parkinson's has pretty much taken him over now. And so he can't perform anymore. So,
oh, wow.
That's the sad part. But great guy, great musician.
Yeah.
This is a song he did with because they did a whole album. And this is one of the songs that he did. Another guy that was with him, and yeah, this is the song that they did. All right, so we're gonna take a break. I love this song, by the way. I love the whole album, but I'm not gonna play the whole album. All right, so we're gonna take a break, and one of the songs that I'm gonna play is a song by a friend of ours. His name is High Caliber. It's off of the album that they did. It was called Enemy of the State. This one is called White Boy. All right, here we go. We'll be back.
I hate white people. All of them. Every last iota of a cracker. I hate it.
No white fighting for. Let's go.
By the content of that character. I have a dream today. more I paint it gray and legally get paid to freak the English language, explain things in creative and interesting ways. Look up to MLK, enemy of the state. Breaking down these walls would steal our country's fate. But here's the crooked lie, and what you think is straight. They want to keep you in poverty, yeah. Section 8. You think you're held back now? Yeah, whose fault is that? The best rapper is white, the best golfer is black. And those who conspire chose. All these liars know I'd be the first to lock arms and stand in front of a fire hose. Got me looking like a red and blue-eyed devil. I put it down, nail flows, punish clowns, underground railroad. Conductor, spy, rebel, I wiki-leak it out and make what's private public. Hip-hop cross between Fred and Michael Douglas. They wanna keep us in groups, so we just fight among us. I live colorblind, all you'll see is lies and smudges. Nutmeg state, nut jobs hate, G-Nut rock 808, to the rhymes I'm busting. You can hate it or love it, but we ain't going back. Reaganomics put me in the ghetto, man, how dope is that?
Joy. White Devil Society. I'd rather build my church higher than yours and draw little Muhammad cartoons. I'd rather shape my bacon into
you see what I'm trying to say, Abdul? I'd
rather you got over yourself, put an end to all this righteous indignation, have some bacon and enjoy it, we can all get along, and from war enjoy permanent vacation.
You're listening to Renaissance Radio on Airwaves America with Dave and GC Rock.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and GC Rock Show. Thanks for joining our informative, stimulating, thought-provoking, and entertaining show. Welcome.
Okay, that was a great, great song. That was a great... Welcome back, folks. This is the Dave and G-Ski Show. That was a fantastic song from... High Caliber.
Yes.
I loved it. And he was very heavily, and he used a number of times, the quote from Minister King Samir Shabazz.
Uh-huh.
Also known as Maurice Heath, the new Black Panther Party's Philadelphia leader.
Yep.
So the rest of what he said, and this is because I have that exact quote. I'm reading it right out of Stay Mad. I hate white people, all of them, every last iota of a cracker. I hate them. He shouts into a megaphone on a crowded sidewalk. Through South Street with white dirty cracker whore on our arms, and we call ourselves black men with African garb on. That's when he spotted a black man embracing a white woman. And he said, what the hell is wrong with you, black man? He shouted into his megaphone. You out here with a white girl on your damn arm. You want freedom? You're going to have to kill some crackers. You're going to have to kill some of their babies. Remember that?
Yep. I sure enough do.
Yeah. That was in... 2008.
Yeah. And I think, wasn't he the same guy that ended up getting banned from being around polling places because him and his guys were at a polling place with AKs?
No, they had billy clubs. They didn't have AKs. But
oh, okay.
The reason I know that is because I just read about what I wrote about that. I don't think they were banned. I don't think anything happened to them because the U.S. attorney was Eric Holder, and he dropped the case. He indicated that there was not enough evidence of a crime for him to pursue the issue. So I don't know what the source is on this. I'd have to look it up. I don't know my Roman numerals, but that same DOJ leadership apparently doesn't believe the new Black Panther Party, NBPP, was engaging in intimidation when it sent thugs uniformed like Mussolini's black shirts, one with a billy club, to stand in front of the entrance to a polling place. In fact, there is nothing the new Black Panthers have ever said or done to suggest that they don't believe what they did was intimidating to people they hate. They preach intimidation and worse. And such intimidation continued at the hearing, because in the middle of it, King Samir Shahbaz, the Panther who swung the billy club, he was also the one that said, you know, they got to, I hate every iota of a cracker. On election day, he got up, he moved to the side of the hearing room slightly in front of the witnesses and photographed the three men seated at the witness table testifying against him. These were the three men who had attempted to protect prospective voters in Philadelphia on election day. One later testified that he did notice his picture was being taken by Shahbaz. It's hard to see any reason for taking their photographs in such a way other than to try to intimidate them. Or does an advocate of genocide just want to add pictures to his scrapbook? I can get the source on that, but I have to look it up in the back. That was probably in an article that somebody wrote.
Yeah.
So I copied it. I copied the information. But then that's when you get into everything else that he was saying. I hate every iota of a cracker. In a 2008 interview with the Philadelphia Inquirer, Shahbaz said, I'm about the total destruction of white people. I'm about the total liberation of black people. I hate white people. I hate my enemy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. Just wow.
So then I picked back up. It's like another couple paragraphs. In this day and age, there's really no further need for any affirmative action. The point has been made. Any black person or other minority who feels held back by society hasn't really tried hard enough. They just want, you know, in other words, they want things given to them. Anyone can use that excuse, the excuse that society has held him or her back. In fact, there are millions of excuses. There are as many excuses as there are individuals. Some may be very valid. Nevertheless, a valid excuse does not change the fact that it is still an excuse. I was harsh, I guess, in this book. If people are dissatisfied with America, there is nothing holding them here. Anyone with the feeling that America is the problem in the world should try a few different societies to gain a frame of reference. You know, so what about racial tensions? I think race relations are far worse than they were before Obama crystallized onto the political scene. He made all sorts of promises that no one could possibly keep. And I close the chapter out with, in the immortal words of Forrest Gump, that's all I have to say about that.
You are good. That's pretty awesome.
So that song, I was like scrambling through the book. I'm like, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? I know, I guess. I got all that stuff in.
That's just awesome. That is awesome, awesome, awesome. That connection like that. That's how good Dave is, y'all. Make sure y'all get his first book. And I'm still going to make the second book happen. I'm still going to get the second book out to people. It's still happening. I've been real busy. I got a lot going on. But it's still going to happen, folks, so y'all make sure y'all stay tuned. But you got to go out and get the first book. And it's good. He just read some paragraphs out of a chapter of his book. It's good. And it connected to the song that I played by High Caliber. Oh, and by the way, High Caliber is a white guy. I mean, you know that by the song, but yeah, he's a white guy.
Actually, I had forgotten that. I had forgotten. I thought he wasn't. While I was listening to the song, I was like, oh, all right. But, I mean, either way, what do I care, you know? You know me. I really. Oh, he's really? Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. All right. Yeah. BFD is what I say. Either way.
Yeah, either way. Yeah, the whole album is pretty awesome. I only uploaded two songs from that album. I mean, I can upload the whole doggone thing, but yeah, there's two songs from the album that I got uploaded in our audio clips. So, yeah, I guess the next album is called Enemy of the State.
No, the name of that song. So if I
that song was called White Boy.
Okay. What was the name of that song?
White Boy.
Yeah, so the name of the song that we just heard was called... See, here's what I'm doing, G-Ski. Here's what I'm doing. I'm setting you up, all right? See, now I've got three different instances of you saying the name of that song that I can put into some promo where you're just calling me a white boy.
White Boy.
I'm just kidding. Come on, give me a good one. Ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
White Boy.
All right. For those of you guys in the cheap seats, he said...
White Boy. So that's how we do what we do. And I also uploaded... when we had the radio show going on, I was talking about that lady that called it Bev. And, she told us we were kids and silly and all other stuff.
Oh, Bev. Bev.
Yeah.
That's there now? Oh, man.
Yeah, I uploaded that whole interaction between us and her.
How long is it?
It's 3 minutes and 4 seconds.
Holy crap. I made a 3-minute promo?
Oh, wow. Oh no, that's the whole interaction. I still gotta upload the promo. I couldn't find it. That's just the interaction. I don't remember how long the promo that you made is.
Probably half that at least.
Yeah. But yeah, I gotta find it.
So you have me taking the call, and then you have just the regular radio show version of that interaction.
Yes.
Okay. Because I have no idea, really. I don't remember much about it. I think when I closed her out, I was like, you know, get your own show. You're gonna come on here and tell us how to do our show. Get your own show. This is our show. We're talking about this. We're not.
Yeah. You know, I can play it. We have time.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll play it. I'll leave our mics open.
All right.
But yeah, this is Bev on
317. You're on Stay Mad Radio. Who do we have, and what you got to say?
Hello?
Hi, 317. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. I'm just calling in.
Yep.
You all are in Iowa, correct?
No, we're all over the country, actually.
Okay, great.
What's your name?
I guess my name's Bev, but I'm calling in because I'm listening to the program. Somebody had recommended it.
Thanks.
And I just guess I'm very curious about something.
Mm-hmm.
Been a lifelong Republican, but from the sounds of the lack of seriousness in the conversation tonight, it's just amazing to me. Our country is in a terrible state,
mm-hmm.
and I think you all need to take it a little more seriously. It's great to mock and laugh and make fun of people, but we have a situation in the United States that is very...
All right, Bev, you're absolutely right about all that. The situation is not going to be solved tonight, and we all
understand that. But I think that
we're going along with it. We're reporting the results, and we're trying to have a little bit of fun because I'm not going to number one. It would be a snore fest. With all due respect, it would be a snore fest to just keep it a straight laced show and just stick to the issues and things like that. We're going to go off.
And I understand that. But you sound like children.
No, I disagree, Bev. I'm sorry. I got to break in
That's
here.
Okay.
We are not children. We are very educated, and we're very concerned like you are.
So are we.
And watching Fox News and CNN, excuse me, let me finish for a minute. You think their seriousness is real?
No,
they're
absolutely
biased.
Not.
Both of them
That's
are biased. And we're
this.
Offering another point of view, and we're offering people an opportunity to release their frustration in a positive way through dialogue and encouraging people to go to the primary polls and vote. And we don't need to do it in a stern tone because, frankly, I'm hurting. Everybody's hurting. I'm disgusted with the direction that this country is headed in. And I need a release to talk to people that feel like I feel.
Absolutely correct. She said, you cannot lose your sense of humor. The moment you lose your sense of humor, you're going to lose your sanity. And I think humor is the only thing that keeps our sanity in check and allows us to attack the issues in a logical and sensible avenue.
Well,
get
Annie,
out here,
right?
Get the information out, encourage everyone to go
Annie.
Out and hit the caucus, the voting booth, whatever,
we
write their senators.
The other lady,
we don't stop that seriousness, not one iota. But we cannot lose our sense of humor. Without that, we stop being human.
Oh, I'm in total agreement that you can have a sense of humor, but humor should have some intelligence with it.
Well, we have a lot of intelligence on this phone, so I don't really
understand.
Thank you
for letting me
about.
Speak.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Yeah, that was it. The other chick that was on there, her name was Crystal Wright. She was the conservative black chick. I invited
That's
her.
That's who
on.
That was? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I remember. Yeah. I remember. She actually went on, Fox News for a little while, didn't she, or something?
Yeah. She had a gig on Fox News for a little while. Yep. Yeah, because I contacted her.
Yeah.
I had seen her. No, I'm sorry. I didn't see her. I had heard of her because
you found her on Twitter, I think, right?
Yeah, I found her on Twitter, and what ended up happening was it was something. It might have been an election or something.
Yeah, I think it was a primary night or something that we were covering.
Yeah, but anyways, the comedian Cedric the Entertainer.
Yep.
Insulted her, and because of that, I contacted her, and I was like, "Hey, can you be on my show? Can we talk about it?" And she came on the show like three or four times, and then when we did that primary night, I was like, "Hey, can you come on the show and kick it with us while we do this thing?" And she said, "Yeah," and came on the show. On your show while
you're
doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A white guy.
Yeah. A white guy.
White boy. White boy. Well, what is this song?
Yeah. Crystal Wright. That was her name.
We need to be more serious. All right. I'm sorry. That's terrible. No, here we go laughing again. We got to stop laughing, and we need to reel it in, and we need to, we need to focus. That's what we need to do. Focus.
Focus. And then I'll play the Wives of BTR and just mess everything up.
So the other one that I was getting confused with this one was Blue. Do you remember that one? I think that's the one. I think that is the one. No, I think that's the one that I sent away saying, listen, get your own show. All right. We're doing what we're doing. You can do whatever you want to do on your own show.
Yep.
That one's gone, I guess.
Yeah.
If you have any promos that, with the name Blue in it.
I'm not sure. I will have to look.
I can remember a bit more about Bev now. You know, I can remember doing, My name's Bev. I remember doing like a processing those, you know.
Yeah.
Setting it up. I can remember doing one of those. You need to be more serious.
Yeah, you're pretty sharp at that. And you know, one thing, this is kind of off the subject, but one thing I want to ask you, how long did it take you to put together the Big Zone song?
I don't know. Yeah, a month? Probably. I mean, you know, not a month of straight working on it. It's, you know,
right.
A month dabbling here, you know, working on that. It took one, I think it was in the car on the way from New Hampshire to a roller coaster park in Massachusetts to substitute the lyrics. I wrote all that. I was listening to the song in my head, and then I was coming up with, you know, lyrics that would parallel what was going on. So that took one car ride. But then putting it all together, doing all the voices, doing all the, because there are no musical instruments in that song. It's all
right.
Voice. So it's all, you know, so I had to. So what I think I did was I found and downloaded a MIDI, which gave me all the orchestration of that song. So all the different instruments that, you know, I could voice, I could just kind of copy, I could isolate it, you know, you solo the track, and then you kind of sing along the words to the tune that the thing is playing, and then you just mute that track.
Right.
I found my GarageBand version of the Bacon Zone song, but it doesn't play. It's in a different hard drive, and when I loaded it back up, I don't know, I think maybe GarageBand got upgraded since that, or, you know, one of those deals. So I can't really recreate exactly what that was. And then I was looking through my old iMovie things in the same, you know, spare drive, and because that's the one that I put together where it had Ahmed the Dead Terrorist in it, you know,
right.
That was in the iMovie bit. So I made the song in GarageBand, and then, you know, copied the soundtrack of that, you know, exported that to iMovie. And then just did, you know, just in, you know, put all the images in. So I'm going to have to redo that video because I don't have any access to it up from YouTube. They took it down, and I don't have
right.
That was like the only copy I had of it. So the only version really that I have is not a video version. It's the version we have here uploaded into the Blog Talk Radio. So, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, going back through, which,
yeah.
You know, I'll get to it. Plus, you know, I can do it up really good with the new keyboard and the vocal harmonizers and stuff. I think it would come out a little bit better. So,
yeah.
With the gear that I have now.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you know, harmony. Stuff like that. I know how complicated I'm finding myself lost for words. But
well,
I know how complicated.
Yeah, it ended up being like dozens of tracks. You know,
yeah.
Probably 23 or 4 or 5 tracks of audio that, you know, you bounce it down and then and then you export it to wherever you're going to use it. So, but yeah,
right.
I mean, the individual tracks, and then plus the accompanying MIDI tracks that went with it. I mean, I could do the whole thing now, you know, probably with less than 8 tracks, because if I have one track that has the harmony notes on it, well, my harmonizer would read those harmonies, and that would be one track, and I would sing one time, and it would, you know, it would produce the appropriate harmonies. So, I mean, it seems like it would be easier to do. Just a matter of deciding to do it. I just have other priorities right now.
Oh yeah, but I all that to say, that song is brilliant, and I love it. I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, thank you very much for that, because it's awesome.
Well, thank you. I mean, I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're a really talented guy. I want everybody to know that. He is. He's a really talented guy. It's good. It's good.
It's all good.
I want to see him play live one day.
You want to what?
I want to see you play live one day.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we got to get together.
We'll do that.
Yeah.
We'll do that. When I move down to Florida, I'll invite you to a gig, because I'm not going to stop playing, probably.
Oh, yeah.
You get addicted to the dopamine, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You can't,
I know the feeling.
I mean, I did my first gig last Sunday with... was it last Sunday? Yeah, I did my first gig last Sunday. Without the laptop.
Really?
Yeah. And the lights worked, and so the only thing I really ran into was a little bit of, you know, levels here and there that I had to kind of like tweak on the fly, or, you know, the first song came out like super loud, and they said, "Oh, can you turn it down?" And I'm like, "Yeah, well, yeah." I don't wanna, but I will, you know. But but yeah, I mean, so I just gotta tweak a little bit. I've got like a compressor on the whole mix. I've got a limiter on the whole mix to kind of keep everything together, but that's working against me on some songs. So I have to go through, all of them and adjust the compressor, because if there's instruments that are playing and I hit the same notes that they do, it all gets compressed into like one mush sound, and you can't really tell what I'm doing. But if I turn the compressor down, it will keep the instruments sounding a little bit more separate. Because with the levels, the compressor will kind of push everything into one level. So whatever I'm doing, you know, if I'm playing a piano or something, whatever I'm doing, you can't hear it because it's jumbled in with whatever else is going on at the time. And it's just a matter of turning the compressor off on that song. But, I got to take, it kind of makes it a little muddy, not terribly, but, you know, I got to see if there's a way I can tighten up the bottom end and stuff. But anyway, it was a successful venture, and I was happy with it.
All righty.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Hey, I have a question for you. Are they going crazy with the vaccine stuff up there?
Not really. I mean, I hear it all over the place. On the radio shows and podcasts and stuff, I can hear about it. But, I look around and I'm like, Don't really notice it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I was watching television the other day, and the news came on, and they were talking about how New Orleans, all of, what is that, Bourbon Street, you know, the surrounding, most of the surrounding streets and most of the city of New Orleans, in order to patronize anywhere, you have to show that you either have gotten a vaccine or a negative COVID test.
Papers, please.
Yes. Everywhere that you go in New Orleans, and especially on Bourbon Street,
wow,
you gotta have your papers. And I was like, man, that's gotta freaking dampen tourism. It has to.
Yeah, I'm not going in for that.
Yeah.
Because I don't have the vaccine. I don't have papers. I don't have test results. I don't have nothing. You know what I'm doing? I'm living my life.
Uh-huh.
Imagine that. Somebody that dares to.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy.
I got home literally 2 minutes, or I did. So when I closed the garage, I thought it just auto opened. Sorry. I'm here with a purpose.
You have.
Don't shoot me.
Oh, all right. All right. No, I have company. So I'm going to find out what's going on.
He is leaving. I just need to see if you did or didn't have a certain book.
What book?
That's a secret.
Okay. Oh, all right. Let's see. I want a keyboard cover for Christmas with my logo on it.
There you go.
He told me, he said you have a wife. Ask her. I said, she's the last person that'll get me that. But
yeah,
wouldn't that be cool?
Yes, that would be. Yes, that would be. Yes, that would be awesome. Yeah, you know, I'm jumping all around here. But, you know, I was talking about the whole vaccine and what was going on in New Orleans.
Right.
An offshoot of that, you know, they're giving Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for the
Packers.
Packers, yeah. They're giving him crap because, you know, he got COVID, so he won't play, but he's not vaccinated and he's not going to get vaccinated. He said he's currently being targeted by the woke mob and the cancel culture. They want to cancel him now.
But once you get COVID, you have antibodies that are better than any vaccine. So, I mean, the vehemence with which they want people to take vaccines is deterring me from exploring the option. Why do you want me to get it so badly? There's got to be a reason.
Yeah, there has to be a reason. And yeah, I mean, it's just so crazy how they're going so berserk about all this stuff. And this lady said it. She was a lawyer, but I'm not sure if it's true. I haven't investigated. But she said that the president's mandate really doesn't hold any water because it hadn't went through Congress.
That's why the president is using OSHA. And he can only influence through OSHA workplaces.
Aha.
That's why, I mean, because OSHA is an executive branch agency.
Right.
He can make an executive order to make OSHA do whatever he wants. He doesn't need Congress for that. But the only people that OSHA can influence is, you know, workplaces.
Okay, I got you.
So that's, I mean, that's how that works. It's a separation of powers type of thing. But when everybody involved cedes their power to an ideology instead of the Constitution, then, you know, they don't mind encroachments in their areas. Hey, I found a really cool thing from your buddy Dave Chappelle. I don't know where it's from. Might be from one of his new shows. But I'm going to let it rip.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
There's this thing where ethics aren't what they used to be. This idea that people are trying to replace the ideas of good and bad with better or worse. And that is incorrect. You got to keep your ethics intact because good and bad is a compass. It helps you find a way. And a person that only does what's better or worse is the easiest type of person to control. They are a mouse in a maze that just finds the cheese. But the one who knows about good and bad will realize that he's in a maze.
I'm gonna let
this thing where ethics aren't what they used to be.
Ethics.
This idea that people are trying to replace the ideas of good and bad with better or worse. And that is incorrect. You gotta keep your ethics intact because good and bad is a compass. Helps you find a way. And a person that only does what's better or worse is the easiest type of person to control. They are a mouse in a maze that just finds the cheese. But the one who knows about good and bad will realize that he's in a maze.
That is from
The Closer?
Yes.
Okay. I had
The Closer.
Never seen that show. But I mean, how brilliant is that little bit right there? That is profound. You could write a song about what he wrote, what he just said, about all that stuff. Good and bad is a compass. That was an important statement. You can't just get by with doing better or worse. There's really a thing of good and bad, and that is the compass.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyways, I thought of you when I saw that, and I said, oh, we got to play this.
Yeah. Dave Chappelle is a brilliant guy. Yeah, he's a lot smarter than what people take him for. And a lot of people don't even know that both his parents were professors. They taught at universities. Yeah, both his parents were professors. And they taught in universities, and they laid a lot of stuff on him. And that guy, he's extremely profound. And a lot of people don't know that. He says some pretty profound stuff. I mean, you just gotta catch him when he's doing those things. But man, he gets down with the get down. That's not the first time he said something like that. I mean, in his last couple specials, he said stuff like that. When he accepted the Mark Twain Award at the Kennedy Center, he said some stuff like that. I mean, the guy is. He's pretty brilliant. He's a Democrat, but
sounds like he's waking up.
He is a conservative, but he just doesn't know it.
Right.
I was like that for a while. Yeah, I was like that for a while. I mean, up until 2001, I was like that. It was the election of George W. Bush that changed me, because Al Gore, I just thought he was extremely stupid. And yeah, from that point on, I had a different view. But I held conservative values most of my life, but I thought I was a Democrat. I was a conservative the whole entire time. I just thought I was a Democrat because my parents were. Specifically my father. My mother at the time didn't talk much politics. My dad did all the time. And I don't know if I had told you this before, but my dad was pretty racist.
Your dad what?
He was pretty racist.
Really?
He didn't care for white
people. All right.
But the one thing that my dad always told me, he said, don't let my opinion influence yours. He said, you let people reveal themselves of who they are to you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hate white people because I do. He's like, you let them reveal themselves to you. And
well, at least he was aware of his racism.
Yes. Yes. And I've always embraced that my whole entire life. And, you know, growing up, like I said, I've always embraced conservative values. I've always been pro-life. I always believed in if you want something, then you need to work for it. I've mm-hmm. always been that way. And the things that I believe, the things that I used to do and all that other stuff, it falls right into conservatism. But I just thought I was a Democrat. And, you know, all the black folks around me were Democrats. And, you know, that's all I used to hear. So, you know, when it was time for me to vote, hey, that's the way I voted.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, 2001 hit, and Al Gore opened my eyes. Al Gore's an idiot. And he opened my eyes. From that point on, and the only reason, this is crazy, the only reason, because, you know, I believed in the things that George W. Bush was saying, but the only reason why I didn't like him was he was doing a rally in, oh God, I don't even remember what it was. But somebody from one of the newspapers was coming up, and George W. Bush noticed him, and he didn't realize that his mic was hot, and he leaned over to Dick Cheney, and he said, yeah, that guy, yeah, he's from the New York Times, and he's a major league asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And just that made me not like him.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't like him. And from that point on, I was like, you know, I can't support that dude. But, I mean, everything that he was saying, I agreed with. And everything that Al Gore was saying in the debates and everything, I'm like, wow, this is kind of crazy because I'm leaning towards this dude. But, you know, Al Gore is the Democrat. That's the side I'm supposed to be on.
Right.
And I think that's the way most black folks, a lot of black folks, that was their thinking. That because everybody else is a Democrat, that's the side I'm supposed to be on. That's talk of the town. That's what all my people are saying.
Right.
That's what I'm going to be. So, yeah. That's what happened to me, and like I said, you know, with the hanging chad and all that other stuff, I had an epiphany. You know what? I'm standing on the other side. And I started a newsletter right then and there. And I started my newsletter, and people started hating me right off the rip.
Absolutely. Check the time, bro.
Oh, wow.
just let, you know.
Dang, this show went by quick.
I want to hear about the newsletter, though, okay?
Oh, yeah, what ended up happening was because I had this new vision, I started a newsletter, and I started distributing. I first started distributing at my job, and man, was there hate. There was mad hate from everywhere.
That's weird. Well, that was before it became anybody became aware of what we now know as a media narrative. So in other words, all they ever knew was, you know, what they were hearing on TV, and didn't know to disregard that like we know now. So,
right. Yeah.
So yeah, take us out with the what do you want to do, the wives?
Yeah, I'll take us out with the wives of BCR.
All right, and then you can tell me some more about the newsletter after.
Okay, here we go. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We're going to go out with the wives of BTR. We'll see you next time.
When we do Internet Talk Radio, we receive support from a great many areas. We have listener support, of course, and some who help with the promoting. One group that often goes unrecognized are the wives of Internet Talk Radio hosts. They are the ones who tolerate our dalliances and the time we invest in our hobbies. Well, this is one way we can properly recognize those who are closest to us by broadcasting their sincere sentiments regarding our passions.
Are you going to stay up all night? You have family, you know. You're always at that computer. How much money do you make doing that radio show? You're not the only one who lives there, you know. You better come and eat. I'm not bringing it in there.
There you go.
All right, so what were you writing in your newsletter?
Oh, man. There was a lot of crap. My very first issue, I had several articles in there. One was about Clinton, the Clintons, and how everybody was praising him. And at the time, they were calling Clinton the first black president. And,
oh, I remember that. Yeah.
So I was poking holes in all of that.
Uh-huh.
And let me see. I had an article about my great 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 grandfather, which is a white guy. He's an Irishman. I had a picture of him too. Yeah, we have pictures.
I bet he looked just like you.
Yeah, but, you know. About my background and my thoughts and a lot of stuff about my dad and how he used to think and what changed me. I got to dig those articles up. I have them. I think they might be on my computer, or I might have a copy. But yeah, I did the newsletters for a couple of years, and the newsletter really, really popular, because I started, you know, everybody that I would meet, I would get an email address from them, and I put them on my email list, and I would email them the newsletter every month or every 2 months when I did it. And then I would distribute hard copies at my job.
Oh.
And I would. We had a lot more back because we weren't corporate at the time. It was still a family-owned business.
Yeah.
And the owner was a corporate. So yeah. So we had.
Well, that
so we had. Yeah, we had going on. So he never really said anything. Yeah, it was crazy because, like I said, my first article, I had a lot of stuff about that was in there, and there just happened of one of my coworkers. She's a quality inspector. She's from Arkansas, and you know she was a lover of the Clintons, and man, she was just on fire. She wouldn't talk to me. She wouldn't talk to me for a long time because of that stuff, because of all my articles and stuff like that. I'm like, show me where the lie is. I was like, all this stuff right here, it's. I have factual evidence, and I said, I tell you what, this is what I used to tell everybody. I said, don't believe me. I said, here's the information, here's everything, you can go look it up for yourself. And you know, I pointed to a lot of stuff that were most of the stuff that I had was either court documents or other stuff that they have done. So you know, it wasn't just something that I was making up.
But it wasn't in the news narrative, so no one
was right.
Yeah.
So,
well,
yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, that's what I've liked about you is you can say, okay, well, I've read the bill and right here it says such and such, you know. So I've always enjoyed, you know, your approach to your opinions, because it's always been based on something that you can point to that is credible, you know. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And that is what actually led me to start my radio show.
Mm-hmm.
Because
let me guess, you wanted to promote your newsletter.
No. What happened was people that were reading my newsletter was like, dude, you should be on radio. And the more and more I heard that, I just started thinking about it, and I was like, well, you know what? I probably could do that. So first I started seeking out, trying to get myself onto a radio station and possibly eventually
get a show.
Yeah. But that wasn't working out so well, especially, I mean, I had a job at the time. Well, I mean, you know, I have a job, so I'm working every day, so I don't have time to go to the radio stations and stuff like that. And by the time I got off work, you know, the corporate offices are closed and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? I said, I can do this myself. I mean, I was a computer geek. I was like, I can do this myself. I just got to find a way to do it. So I initially started recording. And I found a place. I think they still exist. I'm not sure. I haven't checked. But it was called Live 365. And
the website?
Yeah, it was a website. It was called Live 365.
Yeah.
And they were the first things that I've seen that was internet radio. So yep. I started recording my shows and putting them on Live 365, and then I built a website, and just like Blog Talk Radio, they had it where you could put a player on your website. So I would I put the player on my website, and I would direct everybody towards the website. and I would do a weekly show. I would record it on Sundays, upload it on Mondays, let the show play for a week, and, you know, do the same thing. And that's how I got started. And that was 2005.
Wow.
And yeah, and then I did that for a couple of years, and what ended up happening was, I don't even remember who it was, but I got into an issue with a congressman, and they attempted to shut me down. They tried to, and what ended up happening was Live 365 started to side with him. And because of that, I left Live 365 and I found Blog Talk Radio.
And the rest is history.
Yep, and that's when I found you guys.
Yeah,
that's when I found you guys.
I don't know. I mean, all our shows are still archived on there. If we went and looked up the titles of our shows, they're probably still on there, right? On Blog Talk?
Yeah. There is still our shows are still there. I looked them up, and yeah. Most of them are still there. I'm not sure, because you remember I switched, because originally, hey, what was the name of my show originally?
You had 2020 Radio, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then it was G-Ski Rocks and the Captain or something?
Yeah. Did I come there with Merge Right? Because originally, when I first started, my radio show was called Merge Right.
Merge Right. Vaguely rings a bell, but I that's it.
I might have came into Blog Talk Radio with Merge Right. I might have came in there with Merge Right. And then I switched it to 2020 Radio, and then it was G-Ski Rocks and a Captain, and then it was Live and Direct.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the last bit that you had was G-Ski Rocks and the Captain. I think it was 2020 Radio that, or Live and Direct. I don't know which one of those came first, but...
Yeah,
it might have been at the same time, Live and Direct with G-Ski Rocks on 24/7 Radio. I don't remember how you did it, but I remember both of those names.
I know there's some still on TuneIn, because I used to load them up to TuneIn, and then I know that there's still a whole bunch of them on Blog Talk. They may not be under Live and Direct. They may be under Airwaves America.
Right, that was the last thing that we started doing, and then shit got real and life got in the way.
If you remember, Airwaves America was supposed to be all of us, including Voldemort, including Doc,
RZ.
Yep, RZ, Jermaine and them.
Yeah.
Yep. That was supposed to be all of us.
Because everybody did a different night, so it worked out, you know?
Yeah, it worked out. I think Doc was the only one that did it every night.
Yeah, he did a show every night. Yeah.
Yeah, but his was only an hour, though.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else's was either 2 hours or 3 hours. I remember mine was 3 hours.
Yeah, I know. Dana reminded me of that. He used to do that show. The guy's an animal.
Yeah, I remember those days.
Yeah.
And I also remember that. Do you remember when I used to to have the guy from what was the name of that organization? He used to every week. Jesus, I can't remember. I know the website was getliberty.org, I think.
Was what?
Getliberty.org. I think he used to. He came in every week, and he used to speak. I think his last name was Ramos.
Yeah, that's not ringing a bell for me. So,
Americans for a Limited Government. That was the name of the group.
Okay.
They still exist. And the guy that I had come on the show, he is still part of that organization. I think he's moved up in the organization, but he's still part of the organization. I looked him up recently because when I went to my computer, I had found some stuff that he had. And I looked him up, and he's still with the company. I was thinking about maybe touching bases with them guys, maybe try to get them to do stuff on the show again.
Well, I remember you also talking about that you were involved with some Tea Party movements, and you would speak, you would speak publicly at those events sometimes.
Yes. The lady that ran the Tea Party Patriots, she was here in Georgia. Debbie, I can't remember her last name right now, but her name was Debbie, and she had called me out of the blue one day.
Wow.
And you know what it was? I had made a song called Hip Hop Tea Party, I think it was. And I posted it on YouTube, and I asked them if it was okay if I posted on their website, and they said okay, and posted it on their website, and they got 6,000 hits.
Wow.
So she called me one day, and she asked me if I wanted to speak at an event that they had, and I said yeah. So I brought the captain with me.
Yeah.
And we spoke at that event. It was pretty awesome, and we had a good old time. And they had a guy. He was from a hard rock band. He had a chainsaw as a guitar. I cannot remember his name.
He had a what?
He had a chainsaw guitar.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, it was wicked. I can't remember the name of his band, but he was on somebody's show. I can't remember. I think it was the comedian Tom Green. He had a show when he was popular.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw this desk with his guitar, and it really pissed that dude off. that's all I remember. Saw this desk in half, and it pissed him off so bad. But that guy was there, and he played the national anthem on his guitar. It almost sounded like a Jimi Hendrix riff.
Yeah.
Wow. I have that recording too. I will upload that into our clips.
The closest I can come to that is my declaration song that I have up on YouTube.
Yes.
That has not been taken down yet. A bunch of years ago. I mean, probably about a year or so after I put the thing up, I had somebody contact me you know, through like the YouTube comments or something like that. They were having an event that they wanted to play that song at. So they were asking my permission, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, they sent me this form, you know, to fill out or, you know, just to saying that I expressly give permission to have this song, you know, that I have full rights to, although it's on YouTube, you know. But and I don't know, I have no idea, you know, what how it was received. I have no idea if they even played the thing. I can't even remember what the event was. It was, you know, it was a conservative event. It was, you know, a Tea Party type of thing, and they were gonna just play that song. Part of the problem with that song is that it's like over 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Because I kept coming up with stuff that I wanted to put in it, you know. So, but that's the closest I can come to that, and I can't even confirm that they even ever played the thing, you know.
Yeah.
But I thought it was cool to have somebody, you know, take an interest in the thing.
Right.
I mean, there's some good stuff in that song. I mean, no doubt. If you know anything about some of the founding documents and stuff like that, there's great stuff in it.
Oh, yeah. I think I might have it on my computer. I think I remember glancing at it. So, yeah, I think I have it on my computer.
Well, that one is still up on YouTube too.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they haven't gone down yet, so it's all good. Until somebody squeals on you, like they did with Bacon Zone song.
Yeah, that had to be what it was.
Yeah, it had to be.
I'm offended. Screw you.
Yeah.
Don't be offended. Nothing happens. You ever hear that guy?
Yeah.
You ever hear that one? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think I had that somewhere.
Yeah.
Let me think of, where is it?
Yeah, but I'm slowly starting to get some of the stuff that I had on my old computer. And upload the clips. I don't know if you probably haven't noticed at all, but I've loaded a whole bunch of clips from Milton Friedman in our audio.
Oh. All right, here you go.
Says anything anymore in case somebody else gets offended. What happens if you say that and someone gets offended? Well, they can be offended. Being offended. When did sticks and stones may break my bones stop being relevant? They have adults going, I was offended, and I have rights. Well, so what? Be offended. Nothing happens. I a comedian said something about the Lord, and I was offended. And when I woke up in the morning, I had leprosy. How do you make a law about offending people? How do you make it an offense to offend people? Being offended is subjective. That has everything to do with you as an individual or a collective or a group or a society or a community, your moral conditioning, your religious beliefs. What offends me may not offend you. And you want to make laws about this? I'm offended when I see boy bands, for God's sake. They're called posing as musicians to further a modeling career. And frankly, I'm disgusted. Well, what am I going to do? Call the cops? Hello, it's me again.
you're gonna have to upload that.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, upload that to our clips. Yeah, we gotta have that.
Well, it's on a TikTok, so I have to figure out how to transfer it to audio and blah blah blah.
Okay.
It's not gonna happen immediately, but we'll get it. We get, you know what? You can probably find it on YouTube. Then I can do a YouTube to MP3 conversion. Then I'll have it. Then okay, never mind. Yeah. Got it. We'll handle it.
Yeah. and if I think about it, I'll try and do that myself. And upload it. Yeah, because like I said, I'm just slowly uploading stuff up to our audio clips so we can have it.
Well, then I don't know if we should number them or alphabetize them or, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's hard to go through and you miss, you know, what you're looking for. And that's why I was more of a fan of having stuff like the way I'm doing it with the phone. I just took my phone up to the mixing board and play an audio clip or whatever I wanted to do, or TikTok or whatever.
Right.
I mean, I was more of a fan of that than trying to let Blog Talk Radio manage all that stuff, just because, you know, it's tough to go through all that stuff when there's a ton of it.
Right.
And you know how I realized that? When I had the show, I had a ton of it and I could never find what I was looking for. You know, it's meant to, you upload the clips you want to use for that show and then like you get rid of them, but we're not doing that.
Right.
We're putting stuff up there in case we ever want to play it. You know, I just don't think that's how they envisioned it as when they did it. Or they didn't care, you know. You load as many as you want up in there. You pay this amount, you can load up whatever you want. You just won't be able to find anything unless you organize it yourself. Anyway,
I'll come up with it. I'll come up with a system.
Just when you do, don't tell me what it is, all right? Because I don't want to know.
Gotcha.
All right. Hey, are we good?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go. I'm just pooped.
I stand again.
All right.
All right. Yeah, because you got an early day tomorrow anyways.
Yeah, I got to get up and rock it all out again. I don't even know what I'm going to drive because my truck is in the shop and they got to give the one I used today back. So I don't know what I'm even going to use.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, I hope everything works out for you.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
Just one of them days.
Put some grass.
All right, buddy.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks again. Good show.
All right.
Peace.